Welcome, everybody, to this edition of O365A, and we're excited on this episode to be joined by Stephen and Carl from Xero Solutions, and we're really interested to talk to them today about their team's provisioning solution. So without further ado, welcome, guys, and why don't you just give us a little introduction to yourself and to the company.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us. We're big fans, so we're really thrilled to be here. My name is Stephen Karashinsky, CEO of Xero Technologies. Been with the company since day one, so we've been in business about 13 and a half years, and looking forward to our chat today.
My name is Carl Caruani. I lead our engineering team at Xero, and very excited also to go through our Xero platform today with you guys.
Great. Well, we're excited to see a demo and learn more about the solution. So let's kick it off with, describe the team's provisioning capabilities, the solution, and then maybe we can dive a level deeper and then go into a demo.
Sure, absolutely. Maybe I'll just give you like 30 seconds background on who we are as an organization. I think that'll help and put some context as well. So I think the best way to think of us is a full service shop around telephony and contact center. That's what we do. We've been doing it since day one. So we're telecom folks that have come up through the on-prem days and are now swinging into the cloud days, full stop. The goal of the organization is really to help make this transition, make telephony and this contact center experience as easy as possible for customers. So yes, we sell, we implement, we manage and support environments for customers. We can do it from A to Z, we could do it in pieces, and we also have these software tools to enhance and improve the experience for end users. But that's, I think, you know, when you'll see a lot of in the software tool that we do, the biggest differentiator that we bring to the table or value add, moreover, from some of the tools that are out there is the simplicity and ease of use. And so the goal when we're thinking about things all the time is, how do we make this easy for our end user? How do we put the work into, you know, kind of a more moderate skilled individual where you don't have to be a telecom engineer or telephony expert to do the day-to-day functions and tasks that go ahead with managing a phone system or a contact center? And that's at the core of what this tool is about. The genesis of it, we were managing customers' environments for a long time, and we were like, hey, this is never going to be able to grow and sustain by having, you know, highly skilled engineers doing moves as and changes for our customers on a daily basis. There's got to be a better way. And that's when we jumped into developing some tools that can really make this stuff simple and automated as much as possible. And so that's kind of what we're eager to show you today. The tool is called ZPM, so Xero Platform for Microsoft. And we're talking today about how we do on the provisioning side, so moves as and changes, DN management, but we'll also spend a little time on where we're going with this tool as well, because as we spend time in the market and as the proliferation of Teams calling goes to the market, the needs of users are changing. And I think it's kind of interesting to see how the market shifted, where when we started our business, we were all into managing, operating, and optimizing, you know, existing people's phone systems, IP phone systems. Now, with the shift of cloud and coming out of COVID, just a little like we were talking about before, it's kind of like everybody's looking to change their system over the next couple of years. So we kind of got back into the new phone system business. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Oh, that sounds great. And many of us have had a lot of challenges provisioning at a large scale. We did a session together a couple of years ago about that very, very thing, provisioning telephony at scale with Microsoft Teams. So yeah, take it away.
All right. So we'll just go through a couple of slides here. So what is the Xero platform? It's a provisioning, reporting, and automation software for managing Microsoft Teams calling. I put and Cisco because we do have two flavors of this tool. And so for folks that are still in the managing both calling and Teams and still maybe have a Cisco call manager around, that is something we can also help with. Our focus, as Stephen alluded to, is simplicity. We really want to push down the day-to-day moves as changes deletes to level one help desk, facilities managers, site-based managers, people that don't have any technical knowledge. They don't know how to write PowerShell or run PowerShell. They don't even need to really understand a Teams Admin Center or Azure, I mean, Entra ID, whatever. You know, you really have, it can be really, really simple stuff for them. So the operational problems Xero solves, and Michael, I'll do a call out to you. I saw your presentation on Teams Boss. We're solving a lot of the same problems. So it's that classic problem of PSTN provisioning. It's not as easy as it looks. You know, some people think, it's just assigning a phone number, right? Well, you know, especially in the world of folks that are doing direct routing, where, you know, where their numbers, they're not binder numbers from Teams or from Operator Connect, where they're in the Teams Management Center. Like it's you're stuck looking at spreadsheets for managing your numbers. Those spreadsheets can go out of date. That's one way of doing it. Some people are building PowerShell reports. They don't really always remember which policies need to go with which locations, which numbers. And you know, once again, PowerShell, sometimes you have to go to PowerShell and, oh, my command didn't work. Oh, there's an update. Oh, this commandlet is deprecated. I got to use this one instead. So, it's not always so easy. The automation, is always a bit, it's a bit limited, when it comes to the voice piece. You know, you could do, some really, really fancy things in Azure. You can have, you know, dynamic membership rules and automatically get people that are part of groups, and based off of those groups do the automatic licensing, and so those pieces are good. But you know, there's nothing really there to say like, hey, this person is in Montreal or in New York, go look at the numbers I have from that telco and go take the next available number and assign them that DID. Or how do I say, based off of this DID and you're at that building, well, they need to have this emergency policy, or this, you know, this person needs compliance recording. So there are some pieces that are missing in that automation world of 365. The administrative access, of course, is required. So folks often are like, hey, we want to give, you know, Susan on the help desk access to do some of these basic moves, adds, and changes. And well, we don't want to give her access to the Teams Admin Center to do that sort of stuff. So That's another, you know, operational problem that we're solving. And lastly, you know, and this is the big one that we see is, you know, a lot of voice teams, they're moving from a call manager or a Mitel or an Avaya, and now they just have all these new places to go, PowerShell, the Teams Admin Center, Entra ID, Azure ID. Like it's a lot of new stuff to learn. Or maybe it's the classic thing of like, hey, Tim was managing all that stuff. Tim left. Now we're stuck with all these things that we need to learn. And so that's also part of the picture of the things we're solving with our Xero platform. So I'm going to jump right into the demo, and I'm just going to show some high level stuff. So I'm going to log in with you know, single sign-on. I mean, you're going to see I can easily search for somebody. I can easily provision them in seconds. We can see how those changes get audited, and then we can even touch on some of the automation that we can do with the tool. So I'm going to hop onto another tab here. You see that the tool is web-based. All I do is I click the login button, and you'll see that I'm taken to an SSO prompt, and I'll sign in with my 365 credentials, and I'm dropped into what I always like to call the Google style search. I mean, the Bing style search, really Microsoft tools. I have to remember to say that. So from here, I could search for my user. I'll pick on Dino. Let's go. So I'll get my search results. I click edit. And what we're going to load here is what we like to call the 360 view. And what we're doing is we're showing these high-level tiles of some of the actions that you can take on this user. And it's a trimmed down view of what you would typically have in the 365 admin portals. So for example, we could provide particular security groups that you may want to assign. And we're not, you know, the administrator can control that and be like, well, actually, you know, for my voice team or for this person, I just really, you know, in Xero, I really just want them to be able to action these two, three security groups that are important. The most common use case and our primary focus here for the past few years is really around voice provisioning. So the main use case we're solving here is a lot of folks are driving, upgrading an E3 to an E5 or assigning a phone system license. They are driving that from security group assignments. So we're able to bring that here. so that doesn't need to go to an Entra ID admin. You don't need to be a user admin to do this. You just log into Xero and Xero will do it on your behalf. The next one is the licensing. Same thing here. Once again, trim down list of licenses. So maybe you're not doing it from a group assignment, but you do need to, let's say, hey, I'm starting to move folks, you know, from an old PBX into Teams. I need to start upgrading people from an E3 to an E5, or I need to start just onesie, twosie assigning phone system licenses. Well, you can do that here. And you can see that Dino is licensed with a business basic as well as the phone system. So once again, customized view, trim down, only show you know, the help desk or the user here, the facilities manager, what they need to see and not everything. This is, I guess, the big one. This is the one that really brings a lot of value, is the dial plan management. And this is the classic problem that we've heard from so many of our clients as they moved into Teams, and especially when they're doing direct routing, being able to have visibility on the numbers that you actually have. The classic problem that we hear is, hey, you know, for the longest time, you couldn't even do this in the Teams Admin Center. You needed to assign a phone number for direct routing. You needed to use PowerShell. Sure, I'm going to tab into the Teams Admin Center for a second. Yes, you can now do it, but it's still just a phone number that you have to type out. You have to remember, what are the numbers that I own from that telco? What are the numbers that I set up on my SBC that are routing from my PBX to Teams? Or it could be direct routing because it's a region in the world that calling plans are not available. What are those numbers that you have? You're stuck kind of looking at your users, filtering down this, that. What do I have in Teams? What did I buy? So what we're doing here is this beautiful, very simple interface that everyone's familiar with. If you could pick a seat on an airplane, you could pick the available number to assign to Dino. And if you're wondering, like, hey, why is this number not available? Well, you hover over, you clearly see, hey, Amy owns this number. That's why. We've been asked a few times, a lot of companies will have policies where they don't want to reassign a number that's been recently unassigned. They want it to go through an unassigned number treatment. So we'll even give feedback and a tool tip on numbers that were recently freed up, because you might want to leave them to go to the receptionist kind of thing. Lastly, with that number, we're able to also automatically populate all the policies that might be tied to that office or that region. So let's say Dino's getting populated or built, given a phone number in the Chicago office. Well, if he calls 911, we want to make sure that we pull in the security desk. So we want to make sure that we're assigning the correct emergency calling policy, or, you know, the correct call park policy. So all these policies, it's the same thing as you saw in the other places where we can trim down and decide what we want to show or hide. We're doing the same thing with the policies here. So based on the number that you pick, what are the relevant policies that you need to show? What are the ones that you can automatically set under the hood? But I'll just do a quick save here. And within seconds, you'll get his phone number and the policies will be automatically set. I'll pause there for questions.
Also, this is all happening in real time also. There's no syncing or anything, which is important to know. And Dino, you're getting a royalty for every time we do a demo from now on. So
I was going to say.
So if we come back, as Stephen was saying, it is in real time. If I go back to Teams and I do a little refresh here, we should start to see some of these changes trickle in. There we go. We can see that the phone number is assigned. The policies have also been correctly set. Where we're different than some of the other provisioning tools that we've seen out there, some of them are more like profile based. Like, you'll build a profiles for, hey, user A at this location in this role means this group of settings, or this, you know, this number from this location. Our approach is similar. I'm not going to say it's completely different, but it's more about customizing the view and giving a simpler experience to the help desk and let them make those high level decisions. So, and what that helps you do, the benefit that we feel with that is that you can cut down on your profile management. You don't have to handle every permutation and combination of situation You know, if coming back to Dino in Chicago, let's say we want to be able to build shared devices or meeting room devices, and exposing the IP phone policy is something that's important because we might need to switch it over, or there might be, you know, some people will want to use the global settings versus allowing, you know, maybe global call park is disabled, but we want to allow it for certain users. So it's really up to you to decide what are the high level decisions that the help desk can decide on and assign to this user, and hide and automate all the rest. So I can already see, for example, that the dial plan or some of the other policies are just always one-to-one. So we just didn't show them in this list. We just automatically tucked away. The last thing I'll show with this is that it does have the intelligence and the feedback, you know, the intelligence to provide feedback if something is incorrectly set. So for example, I'll just go back to Dino there, but if I went and messed up, you know, or I forgot to set one of his policies, we'll go and change him right within, right here, we'll go and change him right within the Teams Admin Center. Let's say this user was manually built before you had Xero, and somebody forgot to set the call routing policy or the calling policy. Let's just set these both to global, right? We forgot to set these to the Chicago specific policy. So I just made that change there. Now, if I go back into the calling tile here, what we'll see, all right, sometimes we are in Microsoft land, there could be a little delay. There you go. You'll see that the settings now get highlighted, and you get some feedback telling you, like, hey, this is not one of the typical values that that you're supposed to be seeing at this, you know, for this phone number in Chicago. And you can easily address these misconfigurations, choose the correct value, click save, and you're done. The last thing I'll mention on this tangent in terms of, you know, making changes, adding, removing services, everything does get audited in the tool. So we have a nice audit log of all the changes that I've done. And so you can see, for example, here, this is me ahead of our call getting things set up, but you can see now that I created the phone number, I signed the phone number. If I click here, we actually see a full details, a JSON object holding all the details that we sent down to Teams. And then you can see here was my update when we went and adjusted back the voice routing policies. So I'll mention,
Carl, sorry, I think I'll be posing a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I was just, when you're on that one screen, I know that it automatically sort of filters by your location. Could you have multiple options underneath that particular location, given that, like, maybe I have a different floor or something like that configured for like emergency services and stuff?
Yes, you can. So it's really up to the administrator to decide. I can show you how that works real fast, but basically we're in a demo environment. So the range, you know, the locations are very small and there's not many of them. But going to that Chicago office that we were at, what you would do is, this is where you get to customize those dropdowns. And so we were talking about the emergency calling policy as an example. If you had more than one to expose, we basically provide, we're in the admin view right now. So I have my admin hat on, and this is where I'm customizing that dropdown that you're asking about. I could decide, hey, default it to this one, but, you know, I want to present this one as you know, as another option, and this one as another option. And you actually have a preview down here of that dropdown that you're building. So you can customize the order of the dropdown, which one should show up first, which one should be defaulted. So it's really about, by location, customizing the options that you want to expose and defaulting or hiding the ones that are just, you know, always one-to-one. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions before we would go on? I want to be respectful of the time also.
I was curious, like, so what's happening behind the scenes? Are you just writing the PowerShell? Are you using config API? Like, what are you doing to actually provision?
Yeah, so we are going to use Graph as much as possible where we can. We understand that a lot of the stuff for phone is not that available with Graph, so we will then use that. As you know, as of like, I think a year and a half ago, you could use that Graph registration to also make PowerShell calls with the Teams PowerShell module. So we'll fall back on using the Teams PowerShell module where necessary to make the necessary commandlet calls in real time to make those changes.
That's good. Thank you. As a follow-up, say we had a scenario where we wanted to bulk enable like 500 users.
Yeah.
Are you is that the tool to do this, or is this just day-to-day ops kind of thing?
Yeah, there are two ways you can bulk. So we do have an automation module. And the first option is kind of, I think the one where your head was maybe at is you could provide a CSV. So we have a template that you can download, and you just literally, it's a very simple CSV. There's only UPNs in there. And optionally, if you have specific numbers you really want to set, you could provide them as well. But otherwise, you could literally just have a CSV with just a list of UPNs. You choose a location with those default settings, and it'll go and build one by one those users and pick the next available phone number. So it can go through hundreds, if not thousands of users. The other option that you have is we do have what is known as zero touch provisioning, which could also handle thousands of users, and a prepared one here to show. But basically what we do is we could query your Azure AD with a Graph filter and lock in on people that match specific Azure attributes and say, hey, you know, we're going to pull your AD. We can even set it on a specific schedule. And if we identified 200, 300, 400 new people that meet this filter requirement, make sure that they have a phone number in Montreal with the correct policies assigned, and we'll go automatically and go build them for you. So those are two ways you could just really, I guess, like zero touch, right? Just blast away and automate build hundreds, if not thousands of users. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, that's nice. I mean, well, one of the things that I get asked a lot about is just, you know, it's deployment's done, and then it's like, okay, well, what happens next? Like, and a lot of customers have complicated onboarding processes, and some use third-party apps that do stuff and that try to do everything under the sun. And so it looks like there's a couple of options there, even just by tweaking an attribute in Azure, you probably just take care of it that way.
And some of the things, and Carl, maybe you were going to touch this, and then let's get to Curtis's question, is we're also tying into a lot of customers' ITSM systems to kind of, like you were maybe alluding to a little bit, Dino, for automated onboarding and offboarding. So having a lot of conversations, doing a lot of work integrating with things like ServiceNow. So these things are happening automatically on a day-to basis to, deal with those changes automatically. Carl, I don't know if you would add anything more specific there.
Yeah, I think like the classic thing that we've seen with so many different customers, I'll say this, when we show this, some people love this, and a lot of folks are like, my Active Directory is a mess. Like, there's no way I can drive automation from my Active Directory. So and like Steven is saying, a lot of folks will have a ServiceNow or a SailPoint or Workday. They'll have other tools that are driving tickets that are coming in, or a Zendesk. So we do have a RESTful API. And so you could also just tie in a build a ServiceNow workflow that makes an API call into our tool. You can make the argument, well, so what? Like Microsoft has an API. Yeah, but it's limited. Like Graph doesn't know how to pick the next available phone number from your provider and assign it to the user and assign the correct policy. So yes, we're using Microsoft's API, but we're bringing in our added business intelligence within our API call. So we have, for example, one simple post call where you literally just give the UPN, give me the location ID, and bam, like it'll go and assign all the policies and pick the next available number for you all automatically. So folks with more complicated scenarios, like you were alluding to, they could always stitch together their own workflows and build the automation of their dreams through our API.
Curtis?
Yeah, thanks. A couple quick questions about the license management piece. First of all, the zero touch capability you showed with the AD filters and the attributes. Can you use that to assign M365 licenses?
Right now, not today. And the only reason we haven't is because what we've noticed is that folks that have those filters, they tend to use them for dynamic membership roles as well that then can do the license assignment. So like there's already a mechanism in Microsoft that can do license assignment in a way from that filter. So we kind of copied Microsoft's idea and just built the extra piece that was missing. It's not to say that we wouldn't do it. It just hasn't been, I'm explaining why we haven't done it yet. Exactly. Essentially. Okay.
And then the screen where you can actually pick the licenses to assign to a user, does it read the existing license assignments for that user first, or you just pick the licenses and hit apply?
No, it's 100% a two-way street. So we're looking at what is currently assigned to the user and allowing you to make those changes. And, you know, we understand that licensing is a big deal, and some folks really want to drive it from security groups. So it's super customizable. I'll click the gear again, and I'll show you real fast what that customization looks like. But basically what we do is you have two columns. So you can customize that list and you could decide, like, I don't want to show anything to my help desk, but you can also say, I want to show them, but I just want to show them read only. Like, I can even show you, you know, I could bring in a few things read only. And then basically what you would see on that tile earlier, real view in real time, what the user currently has. And then depending on which ones this is basically controlling which ones you can actually modify or not.
Great. And then, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of organizations drive the license assignments from security groups or just group memberships. If a help desk goes in there, will it flag whether a user is being managed already through a group membership?
That is in our release in 2 weeks. So right now you get a little error toast saying like, hey, this is not a direct assignment. This is assigned, but in the future that's coming. It'll be disabled and it'll show you the assignment type. So it'll say this is directly assigned versus this is assigned from a group. So it's right around the corner. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see a lot of organizations struggling with that, right? What's group assigned versus direct assignments. Sometimes they're overlapping and conflicting. I was just interested in the features you had there.
100%. So we've seen exactly the same thing. That's literally it's currently in our UAT environment. Like it's coming out in a couple of weeks.
Cool. Yeah. Well, being able to sort that out for the enterprise is valuable. That'll be a good place for you to fan the solution. Sounds like you're on that road.
Yeah. Cool.
Michael.
Yes. I mean, I love seeing other partners tackle, you know, in the Microsoft ecosystem, tackling similar customer problems in different ways. So I love what I see here. It just highlights, you know, that there's a customer need for these type of solutions where more than PowerShell and more than what's available kind of in the Teams Admin Center are really on the operational voice support side. You know, obviously, I don't want to ask too many questions, I saw that you're doing delegated permissions. I'm just wondering how are you getting your app into the tenant and providing credentials or the authorization to kind of do the delegation?
Yeah. So today it's through an app registration that we work with the customer on, and it's not. I saw your presentation, so I know with yours it's more like a delegate. In our case, like the app has the permission itself. So the users don't necessarily need to have Teams administrator access or any roles themselves. The app is actually handling the permissions on their behalf. So the app will make the changes. The app has so if you want, licensing is optional, but if you want to do licensing, we need user read write all and directory read write all. And then the app is also assigned to the Teams admin role. We can handle permissions within the tool. So we can say this is a demo. So a lot of people are administrators, but typically you'll see a lot more help desk users and less administrators, but you'll be able to assign roles within the tool.
Right. And are you doing anything around like advanced call flows, like auto tents and call queues? I saw all the user side here. Yeah.
Yeah, we would love to do that. You know, I've seen some cool stuff I forget his name. It's an MVP who did like some automatic drawing of call flows, and it's Martin
User.
Yeah. So we are exploring that. That's actually, that touches a bit on where we're headed. You know, we want to kind of turn the focus. I feel like we've solved a majority of, let's say, the data. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to jump in to speak to what Michael just said. Part of the challenge there is trying not to reproduce exactly what Microsoft's going to do too, and they're doing so much work in that area. So when we're speaking with some of the folks that we probably have in common relationships with who are developing onto the platform, we're a little bit hesitant to see to not just build something out that's going to be, I guess Microsoft will make our thing a little bit extinct. So we're playing with it to figure out where the right spot is. Where Carl was going with that slide is where we think there's a massive problem that we've started to tackle, and you're going to see a lot of stuff coming out in kind of like the second half of this calendar year for us, is on migration and how long these migrations are taking. They become really painful for customers, frustrating for Microsoft as well, and partners and you know, influencers like ourselves on this call. So we've kind of set a bit of a goal. And Carl, do you want to just pull that slide up for one sec? I'll let you speak to some of those points. Like, we've got a goal where we want to decrease kind of migration times by over 50% than what they're taking today. Because like, part of the frustration with the users is like, okay, I know I'm going to move to Teams. I'm all in on Microsoft. I bought my E5 licenses. Just get me there. And this idea of this year and a half, too long projects like climbing Mount Everest and gets a little discouraging. So just go to the next slide, Carl.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. All good. All good, my man.
There you go.
So Carl, you want to just speak to these points? We've identified that these are some key areas that if we can impact in a similar way of like we're doing on the provisioning side, we can really crunch this time and then get everyone onto Teams calling, using it, and then further look to optimize. So that's a little bit about where our plans are and what we're thinking about doing. And after Carl just goes through this quickly, I'd love to get your feedback if you think we're in the right direction.
Yeah, I think like what Michael was alluding to with the drag ramming, I think it would, you know, especially when it comes to this, like helping people be like, I guess this question of like analyzing your feature parity. Hey, I've got a bunch of call handlers, or I've got a UCCX call flow on a call manager. Like, what does that look like? Graph it out. And like, I have to rebuild this now in Teams. So we are looking at ways to make that a lot better. So I think it's not, let's say, what Steven's alluding to, it's not in service, let's say, to day-to-day management, but more we're thinking about it more in service to, hey, let's get these folks migrated onto Teams as quickly as possible. And this, you know, giving better visibility on auto attendance and how your call flow is working is gonna help with that. And then some of the other areas that we want to put effort in is really around porting and staging. We know that porting and staging is a big pain today. Checking the you know, validating the portability numbers, or even just submitting the port order to make sure that it has the same carrier or the same rate center.
There hasn't been much innovation in that space. as we can we understand why. So we're gonna try and crack the code there a little bit. Dino, sorry, I think you've got a question. Sorry, I missed you.
Oh, you're on mute, Dino.
You're muted.
Yeah, it's not prompting me. Usually it says you're muted, but not today. I was going to ask about Operator Connect, and are you supporting all four kind of phone system styles? So like Operator Connect, Operator Connect Mobile, or now called Teams Phone Mobile.
Yeah. Not mobile yet, Carl, I don't believe, right?
No, our focus really has been around direct routing for the most part, because it's been where the biggest pain is with the number management. We are rolling out management for Operator Connect and calling plans as well. Yeah. I think Mobile Connect is, that's probably further down the line at the moment.
Okay, good to know. Thanks.
Sure. When you guys, maybe I just a question, and then we'll wrap up. Like, you look at this stuff where we're trying to tackle this piece, do you feel like, hey, good direction? Are there some things that come to your mind that we should be looking at as some problems on the migration area?
I mean, if you can tackle the porting challenge, that's just a huge unknown. And in terms of time, like, this is the thing, like, porting can eat up so many hours for lots of customers. And yeah, I mean, if there's any way to automate around that, that's great.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I think your comment earlier of, like, just because it's in the Teams admin center doesn't mean you want to recreate it. So I think, you know, kind of going back to the, you know, how can partners kind of go beyond the tools that are available and finding scenarios that are really where customers are struggling. So, like, our goal was, you know, get PowerShell out of the hands of people that are doing operational work, right? Like, hey, I need to enable 20 users. They're not going to do it in the Teams admin center. It's probably a lot of upskilling to do it in PowerShell and error checking and scripting and stuff like that. So how do you empower that? So I think, you know, it's kind of similar basis is, you know, really focus on the pain points and then building the tools to support it. So in your case, I think migrations around, you know, dealing with porting is a big area. And I don't know how you're going to tackle it because I don't think much larger organizations with a lot larger budgets have not been able to do it. So I definitely am welcoming some improvement in this area.
Awesome. Like, you're right though, Michael. Like, it comes from these ideas or desires to go out and tackle these things come from out of pain, right? They come out of real life problems. So we've been in many a migration where the port was supposed to go easy and, hey, we're doing a project. We thought it was going to take this much time. We spent this much time on this thing. So yeah, it's motivating us to do this. And then it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win for the customer. It's a win for us, win for Microsoft. So that's what makes this stuff pretty fun for us to do.
Awesome.
All right. I guess we'll wrap things up. Steve, you want to take us away?
Yeah, shameless plug. If you want more info on us, www.gozero.com. We've got some free tools if you're looking to migrate from Cisco Call Manager to Teams. It's a free assessment, easy to find us. And we will be at EDUCON, which is a really awesome Microsoft show at the end of October. So if you're there, please check us out. We'd love to say hello and meet you face to face. Again, thanks, guys. We appreciate the time to share today.
Awesome. Well, we love talking to companies doing great work in the community. I can tell that you guys have lived these problems and you're solving them with true innovative solutions. So kudos to you. Yeah, the solution looks great. So thank you very much for coming on, and we'll leave it at that. Hope to meet you guys in person on the road someday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, likewise. All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Bye.